Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come and join with me. And today's video, we are going to continue on our series, our study series in the book of James. We're looking at chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, just a couple of verses, but so poignant, so powerful for today's manner of living. Let me read those through now, and then we'll come back with some notes. Would you open your Bible, read along with me perhaps? So James chapter 1, I have a title in my Bible, it's The Perspective of the Rich and the Poor. And this is instruction for us, one or the other. Verse 9, James 1. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. Verse 11. For no sooner has the sun risen with burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Like I said, just a couple of verses. Interesting. So much in there, especially for us. I live in Australia. If you're listening from overseas, you probably gather that from the accent. But here, Western society, I grew up, we were told we are a first world country. Then there were second and third worlds, the poor, the tremendous poor in those third world countries, suffering often from famine and just so little they have. This is where a lot of our mission work will be done. But for us, growing up here in Australia, the lucky country, we were taught if we have money, if we have means, if we have power, we have purpose, then we have happiness. That's what we were taught growing up. And so many, not all, but so many would strive towards this. Now, of course, in this time, as we read here in James, first century Christians, this was even rarer. Certainly under the suppression or oppression, I should say, of the Roman Empire. But some came to the Lord and they were rich. And some came to the Lord, of course, they were poor. The majority, I would imagine, without doubt. So what we read here is, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. That's an odd thing to say, but then the rich in his humiliation. See, the lowly brother, that is in this case referencing the poor, the one without means, the one who is not well off. And we're going to look today at that perspective, as the title said in my Bible, the perspective between the rich man and the poor man. Now, I don't know which you are. I don't know whether there is instruction here for both different classes. And of course, we in Western society have this middle class as well, which is becoming, certainly in these days, the new poor. Indeed, we struggle. We are always striving, trying to pay the bills, make ends meet. Both husband and wife, mother and father, working at the expense often of the children, just so we can have. And of course, some are trying to keep up with the Joneses along the way. So there is teaching here for everyone. Let's go through it little bit by little bit. And I should just point out, we're not going to cover everything on this today, because James actually writes to giving instruction to the rich, three or four times, I think it is, in verses 9 and 10 here. Riches are temporary. Chapter 2, about favoritism between the rich and the poor. Chapter 4, we see some very stern warnings. And in chapter 5, straight out condemnation. You know, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. So we see here a lot of teaching, particularly emphasizing a manner of living for the rich. In Matthew 6, Jesus speaks of those who make a show of their religiousness, you know, before men, saying that they have had their reward. And in that time, those references, they are the rich, and they are the holier than thou, the better off than the others. So I might say the same for those who, you know, love their riches above all else. I might say that they are having now their reward. Jesus gave some interesting instruction on riches, and we're not going to go into that at the moment, but he called money unrighteous. Unrighteous mammon, Luke chapter 16. Our reward? It's simple. This should be our focus. Our reward is to be in heaven. Now, I don't know if you've known any men of wealth. And I'm not talking the millionaire, though as a kid growing up, that seemed like a lot. These days, you can barely buy a house for it. I'm talking the multi-millionaire, the men of wealth. I've sat across the table from a billionaire in my business time, studying business and studying wealth and being told, oh, you need to take out the successful and ask them what they did. I often wondered, maybe I should also take out the ones who have failed and ask them what went wrong as well. But I do remember reading a story, J. Paul Getty, oil magnate, early 20th century. This man was probably the epitome of wealth, but illustrating how wealth also destroys the family. In the mid 80s, I believe it was, his granddaughter, Eileen, shared a story of something that happened like 10, 15 years earlier, early 70s. Her father, John Paul Getty Jr., was kidnapped, 1973. Now, I've had to look this up. I don't remember it, obviously, being a young tucker at the time. But her grandfather, that is J. Paul Getty himself, rather than, my son has been kidnapped. I need to get my son back. He starts negotiating with them. He starts negotiating to bring down the price of what they had asked. And then once a ransom price was agreed upon, he then made it a loan to his son to then be paid back. A great illustration. Simple statistics. Wealth corrupts. End of story. Wealth corrupts. But we see instruction here in verse 9, let the poor man, the lowly brother, glory in his exaltation. Folks, it's like this. You'll see this throughout Scripture. It's the same now. Some of us, we come to Christ and we have no means. We are, in quotations, poor. Others, we come and we have means and method, and they are the rich. We're told here that the rich, the reward of the poor is that they will be exalted, lifted up. They're rewarded in heaven. Matthew 6, Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth, but instead treasures on heaven. Matthew 19, Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler. He said, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Of course, he went away sad. Luke 12, we're told to seek treasures in heaven because where our treasure is, we know also there our heart is. And 1 Timothy 6, do not trust, we are told, in uncertain riches. Seek an eternal foundation. Can you see that there is a pattern forming here? And so on. And I find myself sometimes on a weekend, one of the brothers, I think there's actually a couple of them in church, almost every time I have a conversation with him, we talk about blessings from the Lord. He will turn it straight away back to physical, financial wealth. These are the blessings of the Lord. But I've got to ask a question, and I haven't done a deep dive study on this myself. Maybe you have, or maybe you will. Are there any places in New Testament Scripture, teachings from Jesus or the apostles in the letters, are there any places where we are told to go and seek after wealth? Where we are told to go and seek after money? Where we are told to pursue it, to grab hold of it? Are there any? I honestly don't think so. But we do see in Scripture instruction for the rich. We do see instruction for the poor. Different instruction in regard to financial things. Because as I said, some come to the Lord without means, some come with. So do not be ashamed. Let the lowly brother, the poor, glory in his exaltation. Do not be ashamed of your low station. Do not be ashamed that there are others who have more in this physical world than what you do. You are more likely to find salvation on that day than they. Now, that's a controversial statement, but it comes from understanding this. When we don't have, when we are, what's the word? When we have no means, we are constantly reaching out to our Lord and our Savior. Father, your provision, provide, I pray. We are constantly seeking him and his face. But I know, as I know from the many wealthy that I have spent time with over the years, that if you have money, if you have riches and so on, you feel like you have need for nothing. Of what need then have you for God? The rich, the instruction given here, should glory in their humiliation, because he will be made low. His riches are temporary. What is the humiliation? That your riches are temporary, that they will perish. And you must live with this understanding. If you come to Christ and you have means and wealth and power and money and more than what you need for your family, understand this. It will pass away. Oh, yes, but Paul, generational wealth. Doesn't matter. It will pass away. And you are to glory in the fact that your riches are to be in heaven, not here on this earth. For no sooner, we read in verse 11, has the sun risen with a burning heat, it withers the grass, the flower falls, its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Have you seen this happen? I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen more than once, many, many times throughout my life, obviously working in business and rubbing shoulders with a lot of these people. Now, these are worldly. Actually, I've seen it happen to Christians as well, sadly. And they've fallen in the loss of their finances. They have also fallen from faith. But I have a friend at the moment, a family friend. We've known him now for about 10 years. Young fella. I remember a number of years back, he came to me and doing incredibly well. Smart businessman. Very, very smart. And I remember having a conversation with him, and he was just telling me, oh no, this is the business that I'm in. It could never fail. Everyone needs this. Everyone wants this. And look, certainly would seem true, but my advice to him was this. After, at that time, about 20 years in business and in digital business, I work in IT, I have seen massive companies, billion-dollar companies, fail and fall. So I said this to him and shared the illustration that there is absolutely nothing that can guarantee your business and your income is stable. Nothing. Oh, no, he said, it is. And then last year, all of a sudden, it wasn't. Government rules, government regulations made change, and all of a sudden, he's almost out of business. No longer living the high life, going back and spending time living with mum and dad because, well, things change. They perish. The riches are temporary, temporal, not eternal. Now his pursuit is just to build riches again. Go figure. But not a Christian. So doesn't have this understanding. This is a message. This is written to believers, followers of Christ. This is instruction for us, Christians. We must seek up to lay our treasures in heaven, eternal, not temporary. Let me close with this verse, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. I often refer in my teaching back to that beautiful time, Jesus on the roof, where he says those words, you must be born again. Flesh and spirit, earthly things he's talking about versus heavenly things. We are born into this body of water. Mostly bags of water. That's what we are. But we must be born again of the Spirit. Do not marvel, he said, that you must be born again. This is understanding while talking with Nicodemus the difference between heavenly things and earthly things. And we are told here in this instruction in Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And this is just the first discussion of many in the book of James on wealth, on money, for the rich and for the poor. We'll come back to the others shortly. God bless. Talk to you again soon. Have a fantastic week. Bye-bye.